3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Black College Nine's HBCU Baseball Podcast Series. Normally, our podcast series covers all HBCU baseball coaches. And we reserve them that right because they are leading HBCU baseball programs and doing one heck of a job at the national level. Today's podcast is we're with Florida A&M University's head baseball coach, Jamie Shoup. Shoup is in his fifth season, and he's headed into his sixth season in 2019. He's a very experienced coach, considering he came to FAMU from Florida State. He was the pitching coach at Florida State, where Florida State, as you very well know, is a ACC baseball powerhouse. The things that they do in that program. But coach decided to leave Florida State, and he came over to a mid-major in FAMU, and he has done some wonderful things. And the things that he has done is not only just taking our kids and to transform them into men, but he's preparing them for life as well as collegiate baseball on the field. So this is something I've been talking to the coach about it, because I've been wanting to do a podcast with him for a long time now. Now we have the opportunity. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. It's good to be with you guys today.
Well, that's good to hear. You're heading into your sixth season, and I know Florida A&M is not like Florida State, but it's still a good baseball program and a good conference. Yeah. What brought you to FAMU?
Well, it was the excitement of being a head coach, first and foremost. It was the opportunity that was given to me by the administration at that time, way back in, I think it was 2013. But again, a chance to stand before kids every day, and as you mentioned in your opening, chance to try to help kids become men. And that's something we take a lot of pride in, to become great student athletes, not just athletes, but student athletes. And it was just an opportunity to come back home to Tallahassee. I'd moved off to Georgia for a year. I was actually at Florida State for 21 seasons. Came out of high school and then went to junior college and then transferred out of junior college to Florida State, where I played in 1981 and 82. And then played two seasons there, was drafted by the Houston Astros in the eighth round, and went and played four seasons of professional baseball, including spring training, big league invite 1 year. And then went back to Florida State and started working, and was not only the pitching coach for 18 of my 21 years there, but was the recruiting coordinator for all 21 years that I was there. So it was a good experience that I had there, and it certainly paved the way for me to take the opportunity to turn the FAMU baseball program back to where it should be. That when we got that program, it was, I say we, because as a coach, every coach should tell you that it's not a one-man show. I mean, I've got great assistant coaches. One of my assistant coaches that really helped me turn this thing around was Brett Richardson, who is now at Alcorn State. He's the head baseball coach there. He played at FAMU and had been an assistant coach there for many years. And Brett has been a lifelong friend. I actually coached him in high school after my pro days, when I took 5 years off of pro ball before I started at Florida State. And he helped me turn that program around. I now have with me a former FAMU alumni, Anthony Robinson, as an assistant coach. And my other assistant coach is Brian Henry, who was one of the pitchers for me at Florida State on the pitching staff that I had there. Brian actually, going back to Anthony was the MEAC player of freshman of the year when he played at FAMU, and Brian was the ACC pitcher of the year when he pitched at Florida State. There's been a lot of first rounders come out of Florida State, but there's only been one ACC pitcher of the year, and that's Brian Henry, my current pitching coach. So, you know, it was a good challenge, a good opportunity, and, you know, the program was down. It was, I think, 7-45 the year before we got there, and 7-46 the year before that. So they'd only won 14 ball games in the last 2 years. And we were able to win. My first season there, we had the biggest turnaround in college baseball. We won 26 ball games our first year. So we've done some cool things, and there's a lot more cool things in the future for fantasy baseball, we're hoping.
Well, I'm glad you touched on your arrival, because in your second season, it was an historic for the program, as you guided the Rattlers to their first ever NCAA regional appearance.
We did, and it was quite a year. We had a bunch of overachievers on that team. It was not by far the best ball club we had, but it was the only ball club that I've had so far that has won the championship and went to a regional, to the NCAA regional tournament for the first time in school history, as you mentioned. It was just a team that really played together, that did everything we asked them to do from a coaching standpoint, and just really overachieved. It was a fun season. A lot of those kids were kids that played on that 7-win season 2 years prior, and so it was fun for them. I watched a lot of kids go from being kids to boys to men to grow up through the process of the year, and you know, kids that still come back now as men and really take pride in what they were, the historical process they went through in being the first team from FAMU baseball to play at the NCAA regional tournament. So it was a great year. It was a lot of fun.
Well, how is it that you were, and you're a pitching coach, and a very good one at that. What was the transition from a pitching coach to a head coach that has brought you success?
You know, it was really an easy transition because, you know, I never looked at myself as just a pitching coach. I did all the recruiting for Florida State for the 21 years I was there. And so you're looking at talent, you're evaluating talent the whole time. And so you know what good baseball looks like. You see a lot of good baseball, not only from the Florida State dugout, but also when you're out recruiting, you see what good baseball looks like. You see what other coaches do. I also had the opportunity for about 4 or 5 seasons to work with the USA Baseball 18 and under national team. Worked with them, I believe, 4 summers and got 4 gold medals with those teams to show for it. Was one year I was a pitching coordinator, 1 year I was a pitching coach. I've acted as just a regular coach as well. Not doing that anymore, but it was certainly, back when I first started FAMU, a good experience and just kind of help build my resume so that when I spoke to kids, you know, you had the Florida State resume and background to throw at them, and you also now have the USA Baseball experience to throw at them. So, you know, we did that. I've seen a lot of what good baseball looks like, and we just try to steal from as many programs the good things we see and try to stay away from the bad things we see with those programs.
Well, one thing I noticed, and it's been going on since you've been at FAMU, you guys would go on winning streaks. You win 9, 10, 11 games in a row early in the season.
Yeah. We hope we prepared for early in the season. You know, we've done some good things, Michael. We're looking to take that next step, and that next step is to consistently be in the NCAA regional tournament. You do that by winning your conference. We've done real well in winning the regular season. I think in my 5 years, we've either won or shared a part of the Southern Division, which most people consider the tougher division of the MEAC, 3 of the 5 years. The other year we placed third, the other year we placed second. So we've done some cool things. We just haven't played good late when it really matters in the tournament, because, you know, we have to win. Whoever wins the MEAC tournament, not the regular season, but the tournament, represents the MEAC in the regional tournament. So we've got to play better late. We've got to get a little better pitching in here to really take that next step where people, you know, not only see FAMU as a good program, but a consistently good program. And that's our goal as coaches, and that's what we share with our players all the time. I mean, in terms of the record for wins at FAMU is 34 in a season since they've been Division I baseball. That's back in, I think, 1980 or 81. So the record's only 34 games. We haven't gotten that record yet, but we've averaged 27 wins a season since we've taken over this program, myself and the coaching staff. So we've done some cool things, but I think there's a lot of big things left in the future and for us to look forward to with FAMU baseball.
Well, I say that because on March 5th, something major happened, and it shook the collegiate baseball world up. And I'm going to take everybody through this step by step what happened here. Against East Tennessee State, in the ninth inning, you guys were down 12-3 with two outs, and they were one strike away from winning the game. The Rattlers put together 9 runs to tie the game up and then won the game in the 10th inning.
In extra innings, correct.
And my understanding is that you stated that that's something you had never seen before in your entire coaching career.
No, it was unbelievable. And the neat thing about it was being down 9, you know, late in the game, you try to clear your bench and get some guys some at-bats because, you know, in a coach's mind, you almost turn the page and say, let's get this behind us and get on to the next game and get this one over with. And so we had cleared our bench of our starters, and the majority of that comeback was done by some of our role players, our backup players, who from that game ended up getting more opportunities and becoming starters even. So it was just a neat atmosphere to see the excitement from our dugout and from our fans. I mean, we had fans coming up from us from, you know, all the next couple of weeks saying they'd never seen anything like it. Nor had I in all my years of playing college baseball and coaching college baseball and watching and playing professional baseball. I'd never seen anything that even came close to what that was. Coming back 9 runs, scoring 9 in the bottom of the ninth to send it to extra innings and winning was just an incredible accomplishment for our players. And it just showed the fight that club had.
Well, across the national media, we were hearing things like, wow, really? Yeah. And when I read about it, I was shocked. I was like, nobody scores 9 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to win a game.
You know, but that's just one of the, you know, several cool things we've done that have really, that, you know, I think really showed what our kids are made of. I mean, my second year, we beat the University of Florida. They were ranked sixth in the country at that time, and we beat them at their place. It shocked the world. By the time I got home, I had over 200 text messages from people, shoot, from as far away as California, just saying they'd stop somewhere and watch it on TV, or, you know, just because it was a Gator broadcast, it was on the television somewhere, if you could find it on satellite. We've played in Fenway Park where the Red Sox play. We actually 3 seasons ago were 5th in the country offensively in hitting and batting average. We out-hit University of Miami, University of Florida, Florida State University. So, you know, we've done some cool things. But again, my goal as a coach for this program and for this club is to be consistent, be more consistent, and get back to the regional tournament so that we can use that as a feather in our cap when we go recruiting to tell kids, look, you come to FAMU, you got a very good chance of going to the NCAA regional tournament and playing in the postseason. That's our goal. You know, the cool things we've done are nowhere near as cool as it will be if we can build this program to a perennial MEAC winner so that we're going to the regional tournament, the NCAA regional tournament. You know, basketball, they call it the dance. In baseball, they call it the road to Omaha. So if we can constantly get on that road, that's where we're trying to take this program.
Well, how is recruiting going? How is, considering you're getting a lot of good student-athletes into the program, and a lot of that is your testament because of your coaching.
And we hope that doesn't change. What we've got to do is we've got to get it where we're getting more arms, we're getting better pitchers in. It's tough. I mean, you know, we are a low-budget program. It's tough to recruit when you're a low-budget program. An example of that is our players come in and see our facilities, and we don't even have a locker room for our guys. We don't have a place for them to shower after the game. We built a little makeshift locker room so they could change, but it doesn't have running water. It doesn't have electricity. Just a building, hang their stuff, and, you know, change clothes. They don't have to do that in the trunk of their car or their apartments. So we're a low budget program. We've done a lot to increase the facility since we've been there, but we still have a long way to go. Student Government Association just bought us a new scoreboard. Our old scoreboard, it was like Chinese. You couldn't even read the writing because there were so, the score and all, because there were so many lights out. We've now got a new scoreboard. We've got a new backstop with new netting. Before, we had a 15-foot chain link fence. Now we've got a 30-foot high net behind home plate. Looking to try to get a clubhouse built. We've put a new drainage system in so that we don't get rained out. We're trying to build it up so that when kids come in, they see themselves playing there. They're not, we're not the last choice. We're a good choice, and that's what we're trying to do. And kids like stuff. They like facilities, and they like to see guys with T-shirts and sleeves and shoes. And so we're trying to do everything we can to make it more attractable. Because FAMU is a great university, but they're coming for two parts. They're coming to get a good education at a great university, but they're also coming to participate in baseball. And so we're just trying to get those facilities built up where it wows them a little bit when they come in, rather than just the opposite, saying, there's too much lacking here.
Well, you touched on something that I want to expand on. FAMU defeated North Carolina Central at Fenway Park, which was part of the HBCU baseball celebration. Right. Now that according to us, and I'm a big baseball guy, big stat guy. I believe in stats. Stats don't lie. I'm seeing in MEAC there's a power shift change that's going on, and I see several teams that are stepping forward. I do see FAMU continuing to get better and improve. But the one thing that I've noticed is that, like I said earlier in our podcast series, you guys go on these incredible winning streaks, but then you start faltering towards the end of the season. What's going to change in that? Because you guys, you're a step away from being making the regionals consistently.
Yeah, the things that we have to do, and again, a lot of it's scheduling, Michael. As you know, we can. It's hard to compete when you've got conferences on weekends, conference games on weekend, and then you play a University of Florida midweek, or you play a University of Missouri like we play from the SEC this week, or even the mid majors that are real good baseball programs like the Florida International University or the Jacksonvilles or the Central Floridas or North Floridas, programs that people don't hear a whole lot about but are very good baseball programs, very good winning baseball programs. So as we get more into it, we play a tougher schedule. Beginning of the year, we'd have some teams come down from up north to play us, but by the end of the season, the weather has allowed everybody to be pretty good at what they do. They've gotten their reps in and they've gotten better, and we play better teams in the latter part of the season. So that's a lot to do with it. For us, it's just I want that consistency against MEAC competition. I want to learn. I want our team to learn to play better during the tournament. Regular season is important for MEAC games, especially because it positions us in terms of seeding for the tournament. But again, part of the consistency that we need to improve on is playing better during the tournament late in the season when it really matters. Because the one way. Our RPIs are never going to be high enough to get an automatic bid or get an invitation to the MEAC tournament. We've got to earn our way, and the only way we can earn our way is to win that MEAC tournament at the end of the season.
Well, hopefully that a change, because I remember the last conversation I had with you was at the game against Florida International University, and you stated to me, we are going to turn this thing around, and you did pretty good.
Yeah, we've got it going. As I said, the record for wins at FAMU in a season, in a Division I season, is 34, and we've averaged right at 27 wins a season. It's time to knock that win record down. It's time to be more consistent and have FAMU seen in the postseason. So that's what we're hoping. That's what we work every day to do, and that's what we challenge our guys. We don't hide that from our guys. Not only from when we're recruiting them, but also when they're out there practicing with us and we've got them in our fold, is we share that. This is our goal. This is why we practice. This is why we practice the way we do. And, we have incredible practices. A lot of the experience that we have from my two coaches and myself in terms of playing at Florida State, coaching at Florida State, playing pro ball, working with USA 18 under national team, just a lot of experience there that we draw on, and hopefully that's part of the formula that'll lead to more consistent success from us.
Well, just to wind this podcast down, tell me something. Please straighten me out. I seem to not get your name right.
Yeah, last name's Shoop.
Shoop.
Yeah.
Is there anything behind that? Because you said something to me earlier.
No, I'm not going to go there, Michael. I'll let you explain that.
All right, well,
I'm not going to break out songs on the radio.
Right? Okay, I won't break out the song, but you don't mind if I do it, do you? No, I'm not going to sing the song. I won't sing the song, but I'll leave that one alone because it's pretty funny to me.
People used to always laugh when they were talking to me in jest, and they would, instead of saying, "Whoop, there it is," they'd say, "Shoop, there it is."
Well, Coach, that's respect. That's respect for you and the things that you're doing at FAM and how you're leading the program, which leads me to this question to you. Coming into fall ball, how are things going that's going to transpire into the 2019 season?
You know, last year was very, very interesting for me as a coach, and I learned a lot from it. I thought it would be our best club, and I stated that before the season, and it ended up being a very big challenge. We had a lot of seniors, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad, and last year that wasn't good. That was bad. We just had too many guys on a different page. And this year, we're very young. We've got our best freshman class that we've ever had this year, along with a few key junior college guys. I think our pitching's a little bit better. We've got a number one from a junior college. We got a number one from another junior college. Guys that pitched number one in their rotation at two junior colleges. We got a high school kid that threw a no-hitter. The recruiting has gone well. I think we're the most talented freshman class that we've had. We'll just have to see how quick they grow up. Fall ball's been very hard in terms of the coach. I go home, we all do as coaches, exhausted every day because there's so much to try to get these young kids to learn so that they can be effective once the season rolls around. So it's been fun. There's a lot of talent there, but it's also been a challenge trying to get these guys to fit into our system and learn what good baseball looks like and how to produce that good baseball.
Has the new rule change from the NCAA scheduling affected? Is it going to affect you guys?
You know, it affected us negatively. It's kind of a long story, but instead of playing, you're allowed 56 games in the regular season before this year, and so we would only play 52 in the regular season and play four in the fall to make our 56. We would play four junior college. They'd come to our place. We get to see. So it helped us recruiting. We get to see those kids play. It helped us recruiting. And then the NCAA added two games, but said with the two games you can play in the fall, now you have to play your 56 in the regular season. So before we'd play four fall games, now we're only playing two. But we're trying to hopefully get that rule changed so we can play not only the two that the NCAA new rule that the NCAA gave in the fall, but play the four that we were going to play and play six in the fall, four and the two making the six, and only play 52 in the regular season. When you play 56 games in a regular season versus 52, that's four more games or four more weeks where you have to play five games a week rather than just four. And those five games a week, when you play a fifth game of the week and you're a low-budget program with less than what everybody else has in scholarships, you're usually in that fifth game of the week throwing a walk-on out there to compete against a scholarship guy from another program. So we try to limit the five games a week as much as we can. That rule before it changed this year, where we could play as many fall games as we wanted to, you just had to count against your 56. That changing has hurt us a little bit in that regard, but we'll deal with it. Hopefully the rule will change. It's been a good fall so far. We're just 2 weeks into it right now. I like players. I like our pitchers a little bit better, so we're going to be optimistic and keep working hard.
Well, Coach, I thank you for sharing this time with us.
Thank you, Michael.
I do see many things happening for FAMU baseball. Like I said, I've seen a power change going on in the MEAC, and I think that FAM is a part of that power change. The Rattlers are, I think they're going to have a breakout year this year, and I think that it's going to lead to down the road spending quite a bit of time in some regionals.
That's certainly what we practice for every day, so I appreciate your confidence, and I hope we can instill that kind of confidence in our players as they get ready for the season, 2019 season.
It's not my confidence, it's what I see on the field, and I follow you guys because there's no one covering HBCU baseball like Black College Nines, and
absolutely,
I think that it's worthy that, and this is personal with me, I'm hoping that there is a rule change, because I don't think that it's fair that the NCAA only allows two HBCU baseball programs, and they must win their conferences. If this is just an example, if FAMU goes 50-4, and another MEAC school goes 53-3, and the team that wins that conference gets the regional bid, and the team that didn't and it had that great season goes home.
They stay home.
And that doesn't happen in any other conferences but all the HBCU conference. So I'm hoping one day that the NCAA opens its arms up and says, hey, you know, if we got two or three different stout teams from HBCUs, give them an invite.
Yep. I'm with you, Michael. I appreciate, again, all you guys do for HBCU baseball and for baseball in general.
You keep putting it on the field, and we'll keep reporting it.
I appreciate that, Michael. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Coach.
Thank you.